Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, February the 1st, an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners takes place in accordance with an ongoing ceasefire deal, Fukfuk for Gaza. People across the world join in prayer for peace in Myanmar. But first, Pope Francis dedicates his second Jubilee audience to the transformative power of faith. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis held his second special Jubilee audience for this holy year on Saturday. In his catechesis, he offered a reflection on the meaning of conversion, hope, and the transformative power of faith, highlighting the figure of Mary Magdalene, the apostle of the apostles, who in Jesus found a new direction and meaning in her life. Lisa Zingarini reports.
In his second Jubilee catechesis on hope, Pope Francis invited the some 8,000 pilgrims present to embrace conversion as a lifelong journey, encouraging them to rethink their lives within the framework of God's dream.
Conversione indica un cambiamento di direzione.
Conversion, he explained, is a change of direction that allows us to change our perspective. It is not a one-time event, but an ongoing process in which we repeatedly turn away from old ways of thinking and embrace new possibilities. To illustrate this theme, Pope Francis highlighted the figure of Mary Magdalene, who embodies the power of divine mercy. Jesus healed Mary Magdalene, restoring her dignity and purpose. Through this encounter, she was brought back into God's dream, finding new direction and meaning in her life. The Pope focused in particular on John's account of the Magdalene's meeting with the risen Christ, drawing attention to the repeated mention of Mary turning around. Initially, she is focused on the empty tomb, lost in grief, unable to recognize Jesus standing before her. But when she hears him call her by name, she turns again and understands. She no longer sees death and despair, but life and hope. From this passage, Pope Francis said, derives a crucial lesson that true faith requires continuous conversion. The Pope therefore challenged to ask ourselves, do I know how to turn around to see things differently? He warned that an overconfident and proud ego prevents us from recognizing the risen Jesus who appears in unexpected forms in the face of ordinary people, particularly those who are marginalized. Even when we weep and despair, he added, we turn our back on him.
Da Maria Maddalena impariamo la speranza.
Concluding, Pope Francis invited the pilgrims to learn from Mary Magdalene to turn towards life, the real life, where the risen Jesus has a place and a mission for us all. I am Lisa Zingarini.
The Rafah border crossing between Gaza and Egypt opened for the first time on Saturday, nearly 9 months, to allow sick and wounded Palestinian patients in Gaza to travel to Egypt for medical treatment abroad. A group of 50 patients who have been unable to get treatment during the 15 months of war were reportedly accompanied by caregivers. Meanwhile, as Nathan Morley reports, three Israeli hostages abducted by Hamas in 2023 have been freed in Gaza.
This release comes as part of the ongoing ceasefire deal. The three men have been reunited with their families in Israel. They've been named as Offer Calderon, Yarden Bibas and Keith Siegel. Offer Calderon's cousin is Eyal.
All Israeli people see us and understand what real happiness is, what pure joy is. And there are so many people who deserve this. And I would like to tell them from here, we won't stop. We won't stop until the last hostage is released. Everybody, we will fight on. Everybody, everybody, everybody.
Meanwhile, 183 Palestinian prisoners have been freed in return, sparking jubilant scenes in the occupied West Bank and Ramallah. As part of this ongoing process, Gaza's Rafah border crossing has been reopened, allowing the first medical evacuation since last year. It's reported that 56 wounded children were the first to arrive in Egypt. The World Health Organization says around 15,000 people currently need treatment outside Gaza. Taking effect earlier this month, the ceasefire agreement has so far prompted the release of 13 Israeli hostages, 5 Thai workers, and hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. In a related development, foreign ministers from Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar and the United Arab Emirates and Palestine are set to convene in Cairo later Saturday. The meeting will discuss many issues related to Gaza, including the US President Donald Trump's suggestions concerning the movement of Palestinians from the Gaza Strip to Egypt and Jordan. Both nations have previously voiced strong opposition to such a move. The ministers are also expected to address the ongoing situation in Gaza, specifically the implementation of the ceasefire agreement, and explore methods to assist Palestinians rebuilding their livelihoods. Meanwhile, the foreign ministers of Egypt, Jordan, and the PLO Secretary General are scheduled to hold a separate meeting on Saturday. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Every year, the Zayed Prize for Human Fraternity is awarded to individuals or groups from anywhere in the world who work selflessly and tirelessly to bridge divides and to create real human connection. The prize giving this year will take place in Abu Dhabi on Tuesday, the 4th of February. One of the winners of the 2025 award will be the NGO World Central Kitchen, recognised for its work to provide food aid to communities suffering from humanitarian crises. Since its founding in 2010, the organisation has provided over 300 million meals across 30 different countries, including 100 million meals to Palestinians in Gaza since the outbreak of the Israel-Hamas war in October 2023. It has also been vital in neighbouring Lebanon, where Israeli military strikes targeting Hezbollah guerrillas and infrastructure have caused over 4,000 deaths and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people. Aline Kamakian, coordinator of the World Central Kitchen in Lebanon, is in Abu Dhabi to receive the prize on Tuesday. She spoke to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch.
When the war started, I searched for the places that are damaged or people cannot reach for food and go and settle a kitchen fast and feed those people. And during this last war, when the war started from the south, we started from the south from the very beginning, the first 2 days. We started to feed in the south, in the borders, and then we started to follow the internally displaced people. And until the big war in all Lebanon happened, and we had more than 1.8 million internally displaced people. So we were trying to be everywhere and feeding everybody. So my job is to find the locations, find the people, and find whom to distribute the food fast and efficiently.
World Central Kitchen has just received the Zayed Award for Human Fraternity. What does it mean to you personally?
First of all, it's a very big honor to be here and to be with World Central Kitchen. And it's good to see that people recognize what you're doing. Fraternity and helping people, for me, is very basic. We are all human. We all need each other. Feeding the soul and feeding the person is helping that person and a huge therapeutic for us because we're trying to do something and we're here to be able to do this. I think making peace is much easier than making war. People are fed up of wars and we need to be with each other.
And that was Aline Kamakian of the World Central Kitchen, Lebanon, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch in Abu Dhabi. Today, February the 1st, people in countries all over the world will come together to pray for peace in Myanmar with the pontifical organisation Aid to the Church It Needs, Global Day of Prayer. As Regina Lynch, executive president of ACN International, explained in an interview with Vatican Radio, despite Pope Francis's frequent prayers for Myanmar, it is a forgotten conflict. And this day marks the fourth anniversary since a coup d'etat which plunged the country into the current state of violence and humanitarian catastrophe. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
I think the world is not aware of how many victims there are of this conflict, how many people are dying, millions made homeless as refugees. And it's something that we shouldn't forget. We shouldn't lose sight of this and shouldn't give up, I think, praying and pleading for peace in Myanmar.
For this day that ACN is dedicating and encouraging everyone around the world to join in, what's going to be happening? Can you describe a little bit about what today will actually look like?
So here at our headquarters in Germany, just outside Frankfurt, we have 24 hours of adoration in our chapel. So from midnight last night to midnight tonight, I've just come up from the chapel now to my office. And joining with us are our ACN's offices in 23 countries worldwide. These are the offices that reach out to our benefactors. And so they are also leading our long prayer vigils for the peace. So basically, either in their chapels, in their offices, or in nearby churches, in parishes. And we're calling on our benefactors, indeed other people who are not our benefactors, to join in this prayer. So it's adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We have special prayers for Myanmar, remembering the different victims, you know, the young people, the families, the priests and religious who continue and face a great danger to go out to the faithful, to serve them, to bring the sacraments to them. And we pray for actually the people who would have the power to bring about peace, that there is a change of heart in them as well.
And that was Regina Lynch, Executive President of Aid to the Church in Need International, speaking there to Kelsey Gussie. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, government forces are reportedly attempting to stop Rwanda-backed rebels who are moving fast into the South Kivu province after seizing the region's largest city, Goma. The M23 rebels say they are moving to capture South Kivu's provincial capital, Bukavu, and aim to take the country's capital, Kinshasa. The UN said that at least 700 people have been killed this week and tens of thousands displaced. As the fighting rages on with the M23 rebels, the Congolese army on Saturday reported recaptured some villages which had fallen to the rebels earlier this week. Goma's capture has brought humanitarian operations to a standstill meanwhile, cutting off a vital lifeline for aid delivery across eastern Congo. The escalation of violence towards Bukavu also raises fears of greater displacement, while the breakdown of humanitarian access is leaving entire communities stranded without support. And finally, just a reminder to stay with us and follow on all of our platforms, Pope Francis, who will preside at the celebration of the first Vespers for the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, starting at 5:30 Rome time this evening in St. Peter's Basilica. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at this same time for more. Meanwhile, you can visit our portal at vaticannews.va and catch the latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks this evening go to Gabriele Di Domenico. In the studio, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.